one is not supposed to put on one's tefillin before it's on his back. So, in winter, it's too early. But so we work all sorts of kinds of ways, and I'll show you probably today, I'll have a position, in a position to show you how one sometimes works on the tefillin. You just know it's a very difficult position. So, you know, they're slaves, they can't do, they've got to be at work at 7 o'clock, and you can't do it, they do all sorts of things. We just get right with it, and they don't put back at home business again. So, so we're starting at 5 o'clock now. So we'll probably just get in, but at the end, before it makes it very bad afterwards. You follow?
That's because of the
tefillah. The tefillah, because of the whole smaneh tefillah. So he puts the whole thing in, he makes the whole thing cockeyed. Now I want to tell you, it's just cockeyed, you see. And with children it's very difficult in Shabbos. It's Shabbos starts on Friday night, starts terribly late. All sorts of difficulties. I want to tell you that in Europe, in Kelma Talmud Torah, and Kelma Talmud Torah was the only institutional place of learning or of prayer that I've ever seen in the whole world that you can't have any criticism. Couldn't have any criticism. You're quite sure that you will never get a chumash there bound wrongly. Page lamed base will be a page bay base and page bay and lamed base. You'd never get a thing like that. You'd never get a page already torn out. You'd never find some dust in there. It's the only place in the world that I've ever found like that. Their clock, there was a difference between in 40 minutes between their clock and the town clocks, because they had exact time, and the town clocks had to get right into the European time, Eastern European time, you see, they was exactly right, and they worked it on their clocks. And in the town you used to ask, you say, what time is it? Is it town time or Kilmer or Talmud Torah time? You used to ask, you see. But of course it throws the thing out of
the
choice.
But the time of the tefillah changes in any event, even if you don't play with the clock.
Yes, but then at least you've got the correct time. You've got the, you won't find that you will be putting on your feeling when it's dark. That's what you don't find. See, it's possible that in Israel, they'll be putting on their tefillah now. In any case, they're davening early in Israel. They're davening at the earliest possible time, because people, they've got two jobs, you know that. They daven at the earliest possible time. So probably in the summer they daven at 5 o'clock. Now you have to daven. Now at 5 o'clock it'll be dark. So all this sort of thing.
Even earlier. 4:30 or
daven. They daven at 4:30. Now it'll be 3:30.
What
does
the
sermon
one
you can daven? There are various views. You're supposed to put on your tefillin so that when you come to Shemoneh Esrei, the sun is just rising. That's the correct way. Well, if you can't do that, then you can do it still a bit earlier.
It's not at the sun after the sun is.
Well, it's not at the time of tefillin. The very earliest you can daven is when the sun is 16.1 degrees below the horizon.
It's hard to measure.
This part
would be semi-diameter.
That's the time, but I was seeing you, it's a very disturbing, a very disturbing matter, to put it short. And then, you know, I mean, it's a little childish. You've got a correct time, it's the correct time. All right, you can't have San Jose correct time and Palm Springs the correct time, Los Angeles the correct time. So you have you come to an arrangement. Fine, but then it's reasonable. So then San Jose, I think it's 10 minutes out. Fine, that's not very good. But you start with these people. I think that puts me out a tremendous amount. With my doubting and all that, the utter love. Of course they don't like it. That's the only reason. You see, if there is, let us say, during wartime, of course it's an emergency, of course you do. But there's no necessity for it. But once you do it for no necessity, live a normal life. Look for different things. Right. Gentlemen, if you just bear with me, we'll be able to go through this Gemara. It's easy Gemara, as easy as any Gemara can possibly be. In the Mishnah we learn, in the Mishnah, which is at the end of the Haggadah that we say on the Seder night, we finish off at the end by saying Lefichoch therefore anak mechayobim lehadeus lealei veshabeach lefo'eile remein lehadei levorech lealei ulkaleis. We are therefore, and there are nine different forms of prayers, therefore we are under an obligation, it's mandatory upon us to give thanks and to praise, nine different forms of praise. Lemishe also lavaseinu velonu eskola nisi vo'eile, to he who did to our fathers and to us all these things. And again it comes back to us, which is so important for the whole of the Pesach. He brought us out from servitude to freedom, from sorrow to joy, from mourning to a yomter, and from darkness to great light, and from subjugation to the redemption, the Nomar Lafon of Hallelujah, and let us say before him Hallelujah. Says the Gemara on the top of the next page, Barry, Omar Rav Chisto, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, said Rav Chisto on the top of page Kuf Yud Zayin. Said Rav Chisto that Rabbi Yochanan said, Halleluko v'cheisko v'didyo achasei. These two, three words, where the name of Hashem comes into it, are written as one word. Halleluko, we are accustomed that is written as one word. Yedidyo is the name of a person, we are accustomed that it's written as one word. Keisko in the Torah, we write it as two words, as we discovered, much to someone's surprise, last Sunday night. Right? As two words in the Torah. And we discussed it, why it's written as two words. It's Kisei, Yud Kei Vov Kei. But as long as there is Amalek, there can't be the name of Hashem, the throne of Hashem can't be held, and the name of Hashem can't be held. And Hashem says that he swears by the throne that it can't be held until the Amalek is destroyed. So that is what Rav Chisto says. Rav Omar, Rav said, Keisko umerchavyo achasei. He says, Keisko is one, but not merchavyo. Keisko is one, and merchavyo is one. But Rav doesn't say anything about Halleluko, and he doesn't say anything about Yedidyo. Says the Gemara, it should be Rava. Rava Omer Merchevyo Bilvan. Rava says it is only the word Merchevyo Merchavyo that is written as one word, but all the other words are written as two words. Iboyelahu Merchavyo Lerav Chisto Mai. So the Gemara says Merchavyo, what would it be according to Rav Chisto? He doesn't mention it. Says the Gemara Teiku, we don't know what Rav Chisto's view would be. Iboyelahu, they pose the question, Yedidyo l'Rav Mai. Rav Chisto says, Yedidyo is one word, but what does Rav say? Says the Gemara Toshma de Omar Rav. Come and hear the Omar Rav, because Rav said, Yedidyo nechlach lishnayim. The word Yedidyo is divided into two parts, two separate words. Although it's a name, you've got the word Ben Sion is also a name, but it's divided into two parts. So Yadid Kor is divided into two parts. What's the big deal that it's, is that the way they speak here? That they divide it into two parts. Says the Gemara, Yadid Chal, Yadid is Chal, that's the word we use this evening. Yadid is Chal and Kor is Kodesh. So it makes a very big difference. So if you've got it on written in a scroll, Yadid Kor, and something has gone wrong with the word Yadid, you scratch it out and you write the proper word. But if something has gone wrong with the word Kor, the only way you can rectify it is by cutting Kor out of the parchment and being Gonez it, put it into the Genizo, that is into the Shamos, and then writing Kor and putting another piece of parchment in, putting another piece of parchment in and writing Kor. It's the only way you can do it, because Kor is Kodesh. Right. Iboyelehu, they pose the question, Haleluko le Ravmai? Rav doesn't mention Haleluko. Says the Gemara Toshva, the Omer Rav, because Rav said, Chazino Tilei Devei Chavivo. I saw Tilei is Tehillim. I saw a Tehillim, Devei Chavivo, of the school of a dear friend of mine. Where the word hallelujah is written at the end of one line and kol in another line, the beginning of another line. So we see that it's two separate words. Says the upligo de Rabbi Yeshua Belevi. And this view, says Rav, is against Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my Haleluko, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, what is really the meaning of Haleluko? It's not Kodosh. It means Haleluhu behilulim harbei. It's a poetic form. And it means Haleluhu, praise you him with many praises. But the who is, that's what, in that case, that is the idea of Haleluko. So in that case, it's written as one word, Upligo didei. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is in conflict with himself, because in this particular instance he says it means Haleluhu bihiluli marbei, praise him with many praises, and Upligo didei is in conflict with himself. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Ba'asura ma moroshel shevach ne'mar sefer Tehillim. The book of Tehillim, in the book of Tehillim, there are employed 10 different terminologies of praise. And now it reckons them out. For example, Mitzuach. You know, Lamna Seach Mizmola Dobi. So that is one form. Migun is another. Maskil is another. Mizmor is another. Shir, Ashrei, Tehilo, Tefilo, Hodo'o, Haleluko. So, Goro Mikulon, Haleluko. The greatest of them all is Haleluko. Shekolel Shem V'Shevach V'Vas Achas, because it includes the name of Hashem and the praise of Himself in one word.
Is that
the Rabbi? Yeshua ben Levi says.
Stop quoting him.
I mean, for the Rabbi is quoting him.
All the way to the what we said.
Yes, he's quoting him. The only thing is, we'll have to learn that the first part when he says Haleluhu Bihiluli Marbei, Haleluhu, Haleluhu, Haleluko, Behiluli Mar Blebei, is, I take it to be one word, and the second one, Shekel of Sheva Shevach Bavas Achas, it's Haleluko, there it's two words. That is the way I would like to learn it. That is the way I would like to live it. Right? Now, there is no psak given in the Gemara on this particular instance, but we've got the Masorah. And so, in the Masorah we've got, wherever these words come, Halaluko is written as one word, Teisko is always written as two words, Yedidyo is written as one word, Merchavyo is written as one word, Halaluko is written as one word. We've got the Masorah, and we've got no difficulty about the Masorah which we follow. Now we've got a new piece of Gemara. Masorah is, this is the Masorah, exactly how it's pointed. Follow?
No.
The way it is pointed and divided.
What does Masorah actually mean?
Masorah means handed down. It's been handed down to us, yes.
What is the significance of the dot in the hay? That's not a dot, is it? Or a mafi?
No.
Is that?
Because of Chumash, whether there is any hint anywhere that it is, you know why a doggish is in a word?
It makes it stronger.
Well, it doubles it, which means that there is a letter missing.
Well, I didn't know
that. Yes. A doggish is when there is a bezweri, unless it's a doggish cow, but a doggish chozok is it bas sefer. It's not bas sefer, it's bas sefer. So it doubles it, and what is more, it makes the first syllable a closed syllable in the second syllable. So, but I don't want to say this unless I've got some kind of a support for it, and I can't hear. I thought I would find the support from even is, but it isn't. It's a shortened form for youth cable, maybe it's part of it missing. But I can't say that unless I've got some kind of a support for it, and I can't see any support here.
How do you tell when it doubles the letter and when it doesn't?
Well, if it's dovid chozor, it doubles the letter.
But I don't know what that means.
Well, you know, you've got to just know when it's a dovid chozor. That you've got to know when it's a dovid chozor.
Again, how do you know when
it's a dovid chozor? How do you know when it's a dovid chozor? Dogish chozor. First of all, a dogish cow can only be in Bein Gimel Dalet. Yes, Kof Pei Tov. Those are the only ones it can be. But for example, here you've got Zikoro. Vayom Hashem Moshe Kesev. Those Zikoro. There, Zikoro is a dogish chozor. It's not a dogish cow. It's Zikoro. Although it's in a kof, so you've got to be careful. It's not always like that. Mizbeach, there the phase is a dogish cow. Mizbeach. I'm sorry, that's all I can tell you about it. For the time being, at least.
You mean it may be doubling the hay?
It's no, it's the spot, it's youth K and the book K is missing.
So is it from the hay?
It's just an indication that it's not the full name. Just
is it always send the dogish in the hay?
Always, yes. always it is. That is, and of course there's a difference in the pronunciation. It's not core, but it is core. There's a difference in the pronunciation.
Core, there's a bringing there.
But you must be careful. I mean, one mustn't be pedantic about that, and make it too obvious. It's not How do they say it? They make such a... Yes, it's very slightly, it's a breathing. Isho. You see, it's a breathing. It's not a... Isho. 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 You're not supposed to... Right. Because you don't want to pronounce the same old name of a ship. Doesn't matter, but that's also part of a Shema's name. Or the Shema's name, yeah.
This Teku is kind of an interesting Teku, because the Teku was on what Rav Chisda said.
Yes.
The very few places I've seen Teku is when there's a machlokes.
That's quite right.
We don't know.
That's quite right.
Eliyahu Hanavi is
going quite to right. Rakhisa.
We just don't know what he said.
That's right.
So this it sounds like a different use of Teku.
It is. We just don't know.
But apparently he's not understanding it because of that.
Well, it's just that we don't know exactly what it is he said.
Okay.
Which one it is.
Yeah, there's something very important that we're waiting for Eliyahu Hanavi to come and tell us what he's doing.
You know, it's a difficult thing to explain. What is very important? Everything is very important. Everything is very important. It's just, who knows? There are lots of things that we don't know how important it is. Once upon a time you came to a doctor and there was something wrong with the business there. So what's the cell? You've got a trillion up there. So what are you worrying about a cell for? I mean, today if anything is wrong with a person's cell, I mean, look what goes on. Immediately there's a doctor's bill of $50,000. The only thing is he's on insurance, otherwise you can't just, if it's you follow. It's a little thing, it's, of course, it's, everything is important. All right, let's go on. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Said Rav Yehuda that Shmuel said, Shir Sheba Teuro, Moshe V'Yisrael Omruho. Now what does this mean? The Shir that there is in the Torah, the Shir that there is in the Torah is Oz Yoshir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael Eretz Ashir Azos, and it starts Oshiru Rashem Kiko Ogo'o, says Shmuel, that Shir Sheba Teuro, Moshe V'Yisrael Omruho. Moshe and Israel said it, the Sho'ol She'olu Min Hayom, at the time when they went up from the sea. I feel inclined to say to Rav Yehuda and Shmuel, thanks for the information.
What did you know, Moshe and Moshe?
I mean, what are you telling us? So we've got to try and understand what it is he's telling us. V'halel ze mi omro, and who said halel? Says the Gemara, Nevi'im shebeneihem tiknu lohem b'Yisrael. The Nevi'im that were amongst them, now who are the Nevi'im that were amongst them? Were Mesakin, Shehu omri moso al kol perek uperek, that they should say halel at every juncture, but I'll call Sora Vitsora Shelotoba Alehem, and at every time when there is evil, may it not fall upon them, Ula Shenik Olim, and when they are delivered from that evil, Omrim Oso Algehuloson. They say that Halil is for their redemption. So we are under the impression that who said Hallel? David HaMelech. The Hallel is in the book of Tehillim. So we are under the impression that David said he said that. Find that they, in the time already of Yom Suf, it is already then that Hallel was said.
Right.
But we will have to learn this Gemara a little bit differently. Just go back to Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Said Rav Yehuda that Shmuel said, Shir Sheba Torah Moshe B'Yisrael Omruo. The shir that was is in the Torah, Moshe and his royal composer. It is slightly different. Instead of said it. Moshe and his royal composer, Bishoshe Olu Minayom, at the time when they went up from the sea. Now I remember, I mean, pardon.
Isn't there a message which says that at that time they all got Nebuah and they all knew the words at the same time?
Oh, but I'm coming to that. I want you to see what the difficulty is. I remember when I learned this for the first time, I was a very little boy. I was very puzzled about this and I was afraid to ask because I was afraid that I would be shown that I don't know what I'm speaking about, that I don't understand what I'm reading, you see. So I kept quiet about it. But it worried me always, and that was then. All the Yoshir, Moshe, Uvenei, Yisroel, 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 they came out of the sea, and then Moshe and Yisroel sang the song. Now, did Moshe compose it and teach it to Yisroel, or did Yisroel compose it and teach it to Moshe? How can they all sing the same song? If you want to sing the same song, you've got to get the words, you've got to have sheets, you've got to have the music. How does it all work out? All of a sudden, they all sing the same song. What it says here is, or it says here, that Moshe and Yisroel composed. So what must you say? That they came face to face with reality, and this is the way they understood it, and that is the way they composed it. Even that isn't satisfactory. Because the Gemara explains to us that although the Nabeem can say the same thing. Each Nabi has got his own signal. Each Nabi has got his own style. So they will say the same thing, but they are saying different words. Moshe and Yeshayahu sometimes say the same thing, but they are saying different words. Nevertheless, there are parts in Micho which are exactly the same as parts in Yeshayahu. So what is it? So the whole. How do you say the whole people?
I was referring to a whole
book. Yes, so what is the word you call it in English?
Secular.
So the secularists say, what do you expect? I mean, Micho pinched it from, plagiarized it from. From Yeshayahu, plagiarized it from that. But it's not so. If they see something and they say it in exactly the same way. Have you ever heard of two people who at the same time in different parts of the world come up with exactly the same equation? Have you ever heard of a thing like that? They come up with exactly the same equation. So the thing is that when you're dealing with reality, when you're dealing with truth, when you're dealing with truth, you can both get the truth and it's exactly the same thing. They come with exactly the same equation. I forget, there were two people that didn't have the same name.
That's incredible.
If there's an equation that two scientists hit upon it, and what was so surprising was they were different parts of the world, they didn't know one another, they were not related, but they had the same name.
The fascinating truth for our whole system is that only when you're dealing with reality, with truth, can you have that happen. Otherwise, it will always be a different expression.
So you can get exactly the same equation. So Micho is prophesying, Yeshayahu is prophesying, and they see something very, very clearly. Now, you could say to me, but mathematics isn't anything. Mathematics, you know, equation, you've got a way of putting an equation. One person might put it, make a meager equation. The other, it'll be a clumsy equation.
But Hebrew is mathematics.
Just one moment. So you can do it. So, but I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking if a person really puts the equation in the best possible language. The other one puts it in the best possible language. That word is. And so if you are reporting reality, and you come face to face with it, and you are part of that reality, you'll get the correct words. It's most unusual. But this is something that happened, in the case of Oz Yoshir Moshe. Now, when they crossed the Red Sea, the Gemara tells us that the Shifcho, the meanest handmaiden, saw at the moment that they crossed the Red Sea, saw what Yechezkel ben Buzi didn't see. The great Yechezkel, who saw the vision of the chariot, the Merkabu who saw that vision, it's such a vision that it's understood, this is a part of the tabernacle one doesn't speak about. It's the Haftarah for Shavuos. And we give the Haftarah to a very special person. So the Shivcho Shebayom, the Shivcho, she also saw that. There's one very great difference there.
She did not interpret it. She
saw it.
She saw it, she understood.
Yes, she understood it. The only difference is that Yechezkel ben Buzi saw it. He was a prophet, and he remained a prophet, and he died a prophet. The Shivcho saw it. She had Nebu at that moment, and she crossed. How long did it last? And she was already dancing around the golden calf. Nebu is prophecy. So that is when you don't work for it. That when it comes cheap. It doesn't remain with you.
Nebuah,
yes. It comes cheap, it doesn't remain with you. It is possible in one great moment to reach those great heights. And that is why I don't like a certain term that certain people use, a leap of faith. You hear that term, yes. A leap of faith. What a leap of faith is. A leap of faith. You know what it means? Person goes on to the twin, what are those buildings called in New York? The two
islands.
World Trade. Was it World Trade?
Something.
Correct. Person goes on to the World Trade Center. Once up onto the roof, he came to take a leap of faith onto the other one. Onto the other one. Too dangerous. The leap of faith is. Leaps of faith there have been, as in the leaps of faith, how many leaps of faith have been all together? And count them on one hand. The leap of faith is. So people today call an emotional disturbance a leap of faith. Very, very dangerous. You work for it. I told you that the Vilna Gaon, when the angel wanted to teach him, he said, no thank you. I told you that last week. He said, no thank you. I want to do it myself. Don't want any. I want to work for it. That is one thing, yeah. Yes,
but does another work for his prophecy?
I'm jolly sure. Does he work? The only Navi who didn't work for his prophecy, only one. Who was that? Milon. Come to my dunk. No. Hashem gave him.
I
beg your pardon?
Obviously, I have an incorrect understanding of how a Navi gives him.
A Navi, if he reaches the height of intellect and character, but the heights of intellect and character, the heights of the development of the Seichel, the knowledge of the Torah, and Midos, then he is ready for prophecy. That doesn't mean to say he's going to get it. Then he's ready for it. Doesn't mean to say he's going to get it. Then he gets it only through the grace of Hashem. But he can't get it if he doesn't reach those heights. And if anybody tells you that he's a Novi, you don't believe him. And if anybody tells you that Ruach HaKodesh, don't you believe him. And if anybody tells you that person's got Ruach HaKodesh, and you say, but how do you know that he's got? Ask him. Because explain to him that you know that a person got Ruach HaKodesh, you've got to have Ruach HaKodesh yourself. You can't.
How do we know that the Gomer Gaon had an angel come to him? In a dream.
He didn't have it in a dream. If he had it in a dream, he would never tell his dream to anybody else. He'd be afraid they wouldn't believe him. We know from the time of origin. Otherwise, he wouldn't know it. And if he told it to Chaim Belozer, then he told it to the Chaim Belozer because he wanted the Chaim Belozer to know that is the way to do it. If any angel comes to you, treat him the same way. He's been courteously nice to him, inviting him, and everything. But don't let him teach you. You read yourself.
Yes?
I
won't be caught off guard.
No, you're not. You've been read this one. But if you listen to me, don't wait for him. Yes.
What is the difference between having an angel teacher and having anyone else teach? What would be the difference
in
teaching?
That man respects his teacher. there's a very great difference in it. Because if a teacher teaches you, he learns with you. But an angel just tells you, he can't learn with you. He just tells you. That's a very big difference. A teacher listens and works with you, gives you a chance to ask, he doesn't tell you everything, gives you a chance, waits for you, gives you ideas, waits for to see how you deal with it. So in the end, you do it on your own. I think I told you that one of we learn here that you've got to see yourself as if you've just gone out of Egypt. That is a faculty you've got to have. It's a particular attribute that a person has got. The sensitivity that you've got to have for something like that. That you look, you've got to realize that we are not, that our birth is not an isolated event. That we are linked to our parents by our birth. And they are linked to their parents. And so our birth goes back to Har Sinai, to those who stood at Har Sinai. And our birth goes back to Avraham Avinu. And even if a person is a convert, there is something, if he's a proper convert, there is something that takes place in Shul. And he's taken Tachas Kanfei Ashkino. And he's called Ben Avraham Avinu. And there's something of that is transmitted to him and transferred to him. And that is the way it goes. But this is, we are linked, and it's a special ability that one has. And here, when we've got to see each other, if we went out, just we went out of Egypt. Go see it. My uncle had a very interesting the power that he had. He could work on a sefer, and the one sefer that I know that he worked on was Beis HaLevi. Works on the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi was the great grandfather of Rabbi Soloveitchik of Boston, the great grandfather. If Chaim Biske's grandfather, it was a Gorn. And as he worked through that sefer, if you spoke to my uncle, you would have thought that he was a Talmud of that person. That's the way he knew the sefer. And he told me once how you do it. He says, when you work on a sefer, it must go through your whole system
It must get into your intellectual and your spiritual circulatory system. And it goes right through into every part of you. And then when you acquire it, then you know it's yours. It was just in this. You never saw it. Not that I'm aware of it, so you could have seen it. But that is the way he works. It's very interesting. You would have thought that he sat at his feet here, and you asked him, I said, well, how do you know about this? He said, come, I'll show you in the paper. And he'd open it and show you, and he'd go through with it. And once he sort of told me something, I thought it was just too wonderful. And he said to me, do you like it? I said, I like it very much. He said, what do you like about it? And this, this. And he questioned me, what do you like about it? When he thought I understood it, to say something. Now I show it to you inside. But you, that's the way he did it, you see. So, I mean, this is a power that one has. And we regard ourselves as linked right back. Anyway, that's how the whole thing works out. So, Rav Omer, Rav Yehuda, Mashmur, Shisha, Batera, Moshe, Yisrael, Om Ruho. They both composed it. So they saw what they saw, they were able to express in words. B'shor she'ol min ayom, v'halel ze mi omro, נביאים שבהם תקנו להם לישראל שיהיו בני עשר כל פרק ופרק ועל כל צורה וצורה של הטובה עליהן אוכל שאולך שניגולים אומרים מוסו על גאולו סון. But it doesn't say when the נביאים amongst the בני ישראל composed it. It doesn't tell us when. But it must be a very long time ago. It means the נביאים amongst the בני ישראל who went out of Egypt. But it doesn't say when. Perhaps we'll find out when a little bit later. Yes?
Oh, call Sar of Asar. Is this mean to say that the Hallel is appropriate to be said as a tefillah when we have
no. Sar? It says, I'll call Perek or Perek, or I'll call Sar of Asar, Shilay Tova Aleyen, Shvei it not come upon them. But when they are redeemed from the Torah, it goes together. And when they are redeemed from the Torah, Omrim Oso Al Geuloson. They say it, the Hallel Al Geuloson, for their redemption. Got it?
Is this still speaking about the people who went up from the ark?
No, it doesn't say so. I'm coming to that a little bit later. It doesn't say so, but that we'll get a little bit later. Tanya, we learned in the Baraisa. Hoy or Rabbi Meir Omer, kol tushbochos hu amuro b'sefer tehilim, kulon David Omro. All the praises that are mentioned in the book of Tehilim, David said all of them. Sheneemar, kolu tefilos David ben Hishai. Kolu, don't read it, completed are the tefilos, the prayers of David ben Ishai, al tikri kolu, elo kol elu, but read it, all these. All these are the praises of David ben Ishai. Now that is said at the end of Psalm 70, the 72. At the end of Psalm 72, excuse me, at the end of Psalm 72, it says as follows, Kolu sefilos David ben Ishai. The prayers of David have now been finished. So Rashi here says, Rashi says here that we afterwards the psalms were put in an order. Afterwards, you follow? But these psalms were not put in chronological order. So you know that this psalm was written, Psalm 72, was written amongst the last psalms. Now what helps us to understand it is as follows. This Psalm 72 starts as this is the way it starts. Lishlomo. Now, what does that mean?
Shlomo.
Lidovid. What is Lidovid? Gizmo Lidovid. Of Dovid. So, what is Lishlomo? Of Shlomo. Now, look what it says. Elohim Mishpotecho Lemelech Tei. Oh God, give your judgments to a king. V'tzidkos cholavim melech, and your righteousness, that is, you know your righteous way, to the son of a king. Yodin amecho v'tzedek, may you judge your people in righteousness. V'aligecho v'mishpot, and your poor ones in justice, and so forth. Yisru horim tolom la'om, may the hills proclaim peace to the people. Ugboel speaks Doko, and the hill and the mountains proclaim, and so forth. Now, does it sound like Shlomo HaMelech? God give judgments, your judgments to a king. But it can also be about being Dovid said it. And Dovid said it a prayer for his son Shlomo. So it can be, so Rashi takes it to be Lishlomo, this Dovid said, but he said it for Shlomo. And Shlomo, before he died, this is so fussy. He's saying a prayer for Shlomo. Shlomo is going to be his successor. So he prays, Hashem, give to a king your judgments and to the son of a king your righteousness. And the hope is based on that idea. So it must have been the last.
Why is the bracha for Shlomo?
So for Shlomo, it must have been amongst the last that he wrote. And then it says, "Kolu tefilas Dovid ben Yishai." The prayers of Dovid ben Yishai have ended. Fine, but we know the next one starts Mizmor LaOsaf, a psalm of Osaf, and these, I must tell you, are the most remarkable psalms. Most remarkable psalms written by Osaf. Different style from Dovid. Most remarkable psalms.
Who was Osaf?
Osaf was in the time of Dovid HaMelech. He lived in the time of Dovid HaMelech, and he was a great Meshoreim. And we've got Tefilo LeMoshe, Yeshua LeKim.
What's Meshoreim?
Meshoreim, a poet. And then we've got Tefilo LeMoshe. One of the psalms is a prayer of Moshe, Yeshua LeKim. So it means that Moshe Rabbeinu said it. We've got Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. Who said the prayer of Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos? Adam Orisha. Now, I want to tell you that there are two views as far as that is concerned.
Shir
HaMalos, we pardon?
Shir HaMalos, is that one of the
I
heard that it was by Adam
HaRishon. The only one I know about those are the automatically Hebrew to the other devils. Now, there are two distinct schools of thought on it. The one is that really Adam HaRishon said it, and really Tefilo LeMoshe Moshe said it, and I believe that Tefilo LeMoshe Moshe really said it. There's another school of thought is that Dovid was able to put himself into the position of Adam HaRishon at the time of his creation, that he was able to say exactly what was going through the mind of Adam HaRishon at that moment. And then he said it. But Adam HaRishon didn't say it, but Dovid these are two views. Rabbi Victor Miller's father-in-law takes the second view. He takes the second view. You know, the tape that he gave me, 116, that I invented and I sent back to you. And I only heard the first half of the first side. That is his father-in-law, Rabbi Victor Miller's father-in-law. Takes the second view, says it's that's a possibility. Now, but it says, Kolu Tefilos Dovid Yishai. All these are the Tefilos of Dovid ben Yishai. But we know that there are others that departed it. All right. Artikli kol el of kol elu. Halel de mi omro. Who said this halel? Rabbi Yosi Omer el Ozer b'ni Omer. Rabbi Yosi says, el Ozer my son said, Moshe v'Yisroel omru hu b'shashu olu min ayom. That Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael said it when they went up from the sea. The same idea as we also heard in Moshe. Prophet, are you with me? The same idea. V'chalukin olov chaveiro. But my son's colleagues differed from him. Loma to say, she David omro. The colleagues of my son said, no, David composed it.
Isn't it a strange situation to have a father quoting
his
son, and what
a son said,
and the colleagues of
his son
is done backwards?
What's going on? Then you imagine what the father felt. That he's able to quote his son as an authority. You know what it means?
But his son, he's quoting his son, and his son obviously got it from someone.
Yes.
The father would.
No, not necessarily. He says, he says, and although I might be an interested party, those are my words, nevertheless, my son's words appeal to me more than their words. And he gives a very good reason. Epsher his royal shochatu es bischayim. Is it possible that that first Seder night, where did it take place?
Right.
In Mitzrayim of all places. That first Seder night, the first Seder night, when they shechted the Korban Pesach, the notlu lo lehu lu lo veyer, and when afterwards they took their lu lo. The low omru shiro, and they didn't say shiro. How is it possible?
You say they took their lulavim at Pesach?
No. Are we pardon? What the Gemara, what Rabbi Yosef is saying about his son said that Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael composed. So he said, I've got to assume that that is correct. Because I cannot imagine how, in moments of such great joy, when the Bnei Yisroel were shechting their Pesach, and they shechted their Pesach in Kippurim, or when they took their lulavim in their hands, when for the first time did they take their lulavim in their hands? On the same Levitpah. It says, I can't imagine that no Hallel was said. And the first time Hallel was said was only when David composed it. So I don't believe that it's true. You follow? That's what he said. So he said, it's impossible. So he said, so it must have been composed by Moshe and Yisroel. We know that they composed. They composed also Yehi Moshe. They composed the Hallel also. Now, a more secular person will say, what's the proof? They didn't feel like saying it. They felt like saying, but they couldn't say it. They can't compose. Not everybody can compose a halal, they couldn't. They could. They could. And that's the way he takes it. He said, therefore, it must have been in existence before. It must be in existence before. Yes, it was a different type of Seder. It was a different type of Seder.
I'm sure, but why can't it be said? Of course, they wouldn't have uttered a song. They would have had a shir. But it could have been, further back, a very concise expression of a song, which may well relate to the song of the shir. But still different in accordance with the earlier time and the more concise expression. I don't see why not. It could be a good analogy to it without being that exact. Sure. It could probably even be a more potent expression of it because
before much can be done after that?
Possible. But it is, the places where only it's right, Beshiach told me, Amla Eid, when you saw Yehuda in the Kocher, you saw him, Mamsha Beosho, a Yomro, all by your nose, a Yadein, you saw the Ocho. Seems that they would, it's a song that was said there. Anyway, that is what the Gemara wants to say, but you see, it's not loaded between Rabbi Yosef's son El Ozor and his colleagues. His colleagues, he said, Dovid HaMelech said it. And he said it in retrospect. But we'll soon see how the Gemara ends on this point. Yes, Daniel?
In the first case, why do we find them only finally written down in Tehillim and attributed to David?
Well, it's not attributed to David. It doesn't say, Le Dovid HaLevikor. If you just look at the Sidur, or if we've got it here, it just, we say the bracha. We say the bracha, and then we start. Hallelujah, ko, hallelujah, avdei Hashem, hallelujah, shem Hashem, yishem Hashem, avarot me'atov yad elom, the teis yitzor v'mitzroim, veis yakav me'am lo eiz. You follow. But it doesn't say that David said it. So what it says that this was composed before, but David included it in the Book of Psalms, or it was included in the Book of Psalms. Have you got the idea? But not that David said it. But a little bit further, it goes on further to bring further proofs. V'chachomim omrim yesh mehen. I'm sorry. You're quite right. Yes, please forgive me. But not to the below omru shira dovarache. Peace lo shel micho ome bebochi. The Israel omrim is a haleo. They said, how could David possibly have composed the haleo? There was a black mark against the B'nai Israel. And that was that in the time of the judges, there was somebody who went away and made a pestle, made an idol. And this idol wasn't destroyed. This idol remained. And that this idol should have remained. And that David should have been able to compose a song. And what is so strange, may I just follow this for a moment? And what is so strange, because in the Psalms, it's got this. Has it got the hallelujah? Yes. Yes, that's quite right. A Beit Abdun shall utterly destroy, and there shall nothing remain of their mizbechos, and of their bomos, and of their asheras, nothing shall remain. Nevertheless, it did remain. They didn't destroy it. You can't understand it. You know, there's that Gemara, Menashe was one of the wickedest kings we ever had. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that hundreds of years afterwards, in the time of the Amoraim, they were saying nasty things about him. What a bad king he was. We would say nasty things about him. But if we say it doesn't worry him so much, but it disturbed him no end that such great men should say such nasty things about them. So he came to one of them in a dream, and Menashe, and he said, excuse me, I just want to ask you a question in a dream. He said, what is it? He said, please tell me, when you make a motzi, what part of the bread are you supposed to bite into? There's a bean for everything. Truly there's a bean for that. No, I don't know. He said, I'll tell you. And he tells him, the part that's baked first, that's the part you bite into. He said, you don't even know a simple thing like that. You speak to me the way you speak to me. told the guy, just, I thought a question to ask you. You asked me a question, I would have asked you a question. What is the question of? If you were such a great lover, how is it you were such a wicked person? Look, you served idols. Not only didn't you destroy the high places, the Bumas and the Ashes, but you actually worshipped the idols. He said, I want you to know, had you been living in that time, you would have run to those idols to serve them. You would have picked up your frock so that you shouldn't trip on the way. And you would have run and served those idols. You know what it is? You find it difficult to understand, Lord.